But it's such a privilege. It's really great to be here. Thank you for just your hearts and your hearts to be so open and so hospitable. It's obviously not your venue, so but it's still a challenge at times to. And I don't say it's my venue. That's not what I mean. But what I mean is, although it's uncomfortable because it isn't your venue, you're still very hospitable in a way you just give yourselves, which is great. And I want to start off with something that's on my heart for you guys as a congregation, which I believe will really move us forward in God. Because if you know, it's easy to get stuck when we are following the Lord. You know, you start off, yes, and then when it gets hard, it's difficult to grow in God. And even in this prayer time beforehand, there was a real sense of God wants us to become like Him. God wants us to mature and to move forward into more of Him. And so do you realize how much potential is in this room? Do you realize how much potential we've got here? And it's not because of you are amazing. It's because God is using people that lift their hands and say, Lord, use me. And there's so much potential, especially with a church plant like this. It's amazing to see. It's going to be amazing to see what the Lord is going to do in and through you. And so it's really, don't think small. Think big. Think wide. And even the student conference, don't take this lightly. It's not just, it's another thing we need to go to. You know what I mean? This can be life-changing to people out there. This can be life-changing to you, and you don't want to miss this. And so especially, there's a whole campus waiting to be reached for God. And I mean, who's He going to use to reach the campus? Me and you. They're not going to just rock up one Sunday evening at church. Oh yeah, I just Googled you. It happens, but very rarely. I mean, we're not on point with our social media locally and all of that. You know, we really want to follow the life and make sure where there's life, people will come. But that life is the presence of Jesus that we carry. All right, so be those that carries the presence of Jesus where you go. But that's totally not what I'm preaching on tonight. But what I want to say is, I've seen over the years people start well and not end well. If you realize it's easy to start something, but finishing it often is the challenge, right? Who struggles with that? Well done. That's a good start that you were vulnerable already. But it's easy to sometimes start something. And I've seen people, even in the walk with the Lord, that they start well. Man, it's like you know that day when the Lord grabs your heart and you just, man, I want to get baptized. I want to slot into church. And it feels like my whole life has changed. Yeah. And then, you know, life happens, and friends happen, and studies happen, and all these things happen, and it really just makes it hard for you to follow Jesus like you used to, and then you kind of slow down. But I feel like the Lord is saying we need to not just slow down, but actually pick up speed in the way we follow Him. And it's vitally important that we don't just start well, but that we'll actually end well, that we run this race well. And so, how you live today will shape your tomorrow. You need to realize that. The decisions you make today, that's what makes you. Your decisions today actually matters. That's a preach that I heard years ago from a guy who discipled me, and he said, the decisions you make today will shape you. And till this day, that really stuck with me over the years. The decisions I make today, that will ultimately shape us. And so don't be a shooting star Christian. You know what I mean? You're a shooting star Christian. You're like, it's flashy, and everybody's like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And it lasts for a little while and just disappears. Okay, where's it now? We don't want to be those Christians, those followers of Jesus, where we start well and everybody's like, oh, wow, look who the Lord added. It's an amazing gift and so flashy, and He can do this, He can do that. And then a year later, that person is nowhere to be found. We don't want to be those Christians. We want to be consistent in the way we follow Jesus. And so my title of tonight is Running Consistently. We need to be those that runs consistently for the Lord. Don't stagnate consistently. Don't stand still consistently. We need to be those who run consistently in the Lord. And so I want to read a scripture in Hebrews 12. If you've got your Bibles with you, you're welcome to open up with me. I'm sure you've already got the Word of God in your heart. I know that. But sometimes we need to open it up just to remind ourselves. And Hebrews 12 is 1 to 3. So just read with me. This is vitally important. And so therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Are you guys listening? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from a sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Yeah, there's so much for us in here. And the writer of Hebrews gives us this illustration of a race that we're running. He's saying we're in this race that's marked out for us, and it gives us some great tips on how to run this race. And I want to jump into that because it does seem like it's not a sprint. Did you guys pick that up? It doesn't seem like it's a sprint. It's not a 100-meter dash. It seems like a long race because there's perseverance needed. You know, if I hear the word perseverance, I know it's going to be a long thing. I don't know what it's going to be, but you know what I mean? It's you need perseverance for this race which God has called us for. And that's why it's so difficult at times to follow Jesus, because perseverance isn't always easy, you know? And I want to look at some points just today on the scripture, on how we can make sure we run for Jesus consistently and not slow down in the way we follow him. Are you guys with me? Okay, so the first point, which I believe is important, is when I look at Jesus' life, there was a joy set before him. There was a joy set before him. And with the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He persevered, knowing this is not going to be fun. Following Jesus isn't always fun. Sometimes it means it costs your life, actually. It means you lay down your life to follow him. That's what he calls us to do. And you need to know that following Jesus is not always fun, but it's worth it. Because there's a joy set before us, actually. And if you don't have that joy set before you, you're going to slow down. At some stage, you're going to slow down. At some stage, this thing is going to be too hard for you. And you're going to just, I'm out. I don't like this. And so there's a joy set before Jesus, and that's how he endured the cross. And this is profound, because you would think, okay, what did he see? What was this joy? And it was me and you, actually. Did you realize that? Me and you, we were, in a sense, the joy set before him. And obviously, it was the Father that called him to do that, to pay for the sins of the world, to pay for the sin of me and you, and to have a relationship with me and you, to be in right standing with God. That's the price that he paid. And he saw that, and he's like, man, I love you. And that's why I'm going to just go for it. I'm going to endure. And at first, he didn't really want to. He's like, Father, isn't there another way? But not my will, but your will. So I'll endure, I'll persevere, because I'm keeping the joy set before me. And if we lose sight of that, we're going to slow down. Is Jesus the joy set before you? Is he? Is he the one that you are living for? Because that is why we're living, actually. We're not here to build our career, finish our studies, get married, whatever the world portrays as this is what you need to live for. We're here to advance God's kingdom. And there's a day coming back, there's a day when he is coming back for his church. And the day he comes back, We had our chance to evangelize. We had our chance to share the message of Jesus. And we always need to make sure we keep that joy set before us, which is Jesus. He is the one that we'll meet at the finish line. I mean, do you realize that? I mean, why do you run? Why do you do a race? You don't want to run a race to stop halfway. So why do you want to enter the race then? You know what I mean? So you enter a race because there's a finish line and there's a reward, there's a prize waiting for you at the line. And the whole point of a race is to get to the finish line. And Jesus says in his word that he is our reward. He is our prize. And I'm running ahead of myself. Let's follow my notes, are you? He is at the finish line. You know, when you go through a race, who of you have done a race, like a park run or some sort of race? You know, it's interesting. You know, everybody is so excited at the start line. Everybody is optimistic. And then, gah! And then you see what happens, you know. You see who prepared. You see many different things. And the whole point is, you go through this race, you know, chatting to your friend, and he was like, he's doing a race where there's obstacles. I'm like, whoa, that's too much for me. Running itself is already hard enough for me. And we all go through different things in a race, but the whole point is, man, I want to get to the finish line as fast as possible without being broken. And it requires perseverance. And I don't want to just speak about physical races. I hope you're hearing where I'm going with this, that man, the Lord has a race marked out for me and you. And we need to endure, we need to persevere. Keep that finish line in mind. Fix our eyes on Jesus, not on other things. All right. So joy set before us. So secondly, what I want to get to is, you know, I'll tell you just now, but I've done a few races before, marathons and Ironmans and things that I always regret afterwards. And it's because it's challenging in one way, but it also is such a motivation for me to train and all those different things. And, you know, I don't rock up at the race, you know, with my suitcase. I don't rock up with any weight that's unnecessary. You know what I mean? I don't go to the race and, okay, now I've got my, you know, extra tent with me for no reason, and I'm there on the start line. Everybody is going like, Brie, what are you doing? You don't need that. And then, okay, I'll leave that. And you run, and then halfway through, and then you pick up some things along the way, maybe a tent, or like you think you're going to need it, a backpack, and you're going with this extra weight. It's silly, right? I mean, even just saying that is like, that's so silly. Because when you're in a race, you only take what's absolutely needed and necessary for the race. You don't take extra stuff that's going to weigh you down. And the writer of Hebrews says that we need to throw off everything that hinders, everything that sin, that entangles us. We need to throw those things off so that we can run this race. And if we want to run with perseverance before the Lord, we need to throw off these things. That's my point, by the way, if you're taking notes. We need to throw off everything that's not necessary for this run, for this race in the Lord. It's vitally important. And he says, maybe if you can put that back up, that will be great. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. So it does seem like there's two different things here that we need to throw off. Do you realize that? It's not just the sin that you need to, that you know will drag you down. It's actually the things that hinders you as well. And I was like, what is that? Surely everything that's not sin is acceptable. I don't think so. Because the writer here says that everything that hinders you in this race is also not helpful for you. So everything that's not helpful, we need to throw those things off. Because if you've been following Jesus long enough, you know that sin will drag you down. But sometimes as Christians, we think, but okay, but those things that are unhelpful, that's still okay. It's a bit of a gray area. I believe God is calling us for such a high standard in the way we follow Him that even the things that's not sin, but unhelpful, we need to throw off. Okay, oh yeah, whoa, you're confusing me. What does that even mean? And I'll give you some examples of things that I believe can actually hinder us in the way we follow Jesus. But before I get to that, you know, I've got a, Ben, maybe give me this, I'm not going to ask you to illustrate. This is like a skipping rope. I've only got one hand, so it's going to be difficult now to show you. But this is a skipping rope, so a toe spring. Have you done this before? Can you skip with this rope? I don't know how to. can you do it? Oh, you got to skip. who can use this? Maybe Paul, maybe come and show us. You know, nowadays you get something that they call a double under that you can do like two times. But maybe Paul, just come and show us quickly what is a double under. Just do a few. No pressure, everybody's looking. Yeah. So just to explain quickly, it's not your normal, you know, once every time. It's actually twice underneath your feet every time. So maybe Paul, give it a go. All right, do two. Yeah, try one more time. All right, thanks, Paul. Before you get it right. You know, sometimes on this race with the Lord, we are running with the skipping rope. We think we can do it, and then while we're running, we just stumble and we get entangled with things. I mean, if you do a race, I can guarantee you it's not needed to take that skipping rope with you. Leave it at home. You don't need it. But sometimes we take it with and we want to think it's a good idea and we kind of do double unders or whatever unders and you get entangled. You stumble and you actually lose sight of the finish line. And what are those things that we need to get rid of? Things that hinder. Any extra weight that's not needed. Can I step on some toes? Honestly, I know what it's like. I think gaming is something that hinders. Well, let me say this. I think gaming can be something that hinders. I don't want to say it's a hindrance for everybody, but I've seen many times before in young people's lives, oh man, it's not sin. Gaming is not sin. I'm just going to do it. And then you end up with sin. That's the thing with something that hinders. It leads to sin. You start off, no, man, this is not that bad. I can manage this, and it leads to sin. Who disagrees? I mean, it's real. We all go through stuff, and I'll mention other stuff as well. So we need to watch out. I'm not saying you're not allowed to, because the Bible doesn't say that. We need to be clear on what the Bible says is sin. That's sin. But then we also need to apply wisdom on things that's not helpful. Social media. Yo, that's a big one. That's a big one. Is social media sin? Who thinks it's sin? Well, it can be. It can be, depending on how you use it. Depending on whether it became an idol in your life. But depending on whether this has become a weight that you can't live without. Recently, I deleted my social media for a while. I got it back now. But there was a stage where I just like, I'm off for a while. I just felt like every time I'm on my phone, I'm just on that. And it's unhelpful. You know what's on social media. You know what's happening. And it really portrays your thinking. It shapes your thinking. I'll go on to my Facebook icon, and then I'll do whatever, and I go off. And then I want to do something else with my phone, and I go back on within like 5 seconds. I'm like, I was just there, Oya. You don't have to go on to it again. You were just there. And I realized, I think it's got me. I think this is becoming a hindrance. And I looked at, you can actually see how much time you spend on social media. I was like, whoa. And there was a stage where I was like comparing it to how much time I spend with the Bible or the Lord or praying or whatever. And I'm like, it's not even close. And social media can be a great tool for the kingdom. It can be an incredible tool. But for me, it became an hindrance. And I need to watch that in me. And I'm back on now, but I need to always just make sure it doesn't become an extra weight in the way I follow the Lord. Wrong friends can be an hindrance. No, I'll change them. No, I'll change them. I'm going to have a good influence on them. Maybe, but most likely not. And that's the challenge. Because you love them, and it's good. We need to love our friends, but if it's the wrong friends that are pulling you away from Jesus, it can become a hindrance. And wrong friends will lead you to sin. It's a big one, eh? Alcohol. Yeah, I'm touching on some heavy stuff here tonight. Alcohol. I know what it's like to be a student or a young person that you're so surrounded with all of this. Is drinking alcohol sin? It can be. The Bible says you shouldn't get drunk. But it doesn't say drinking alcohol is sin. It says getting drunk is. But for some, it might be a sin. And I remember as a young student, I never struggled with alcohol. And in my first year, I felt the Lord tap on my heart, I don't want you to drink for a whole year. It's like, okay, but I don't struggle with that, Lord. Why do you want me? I just, well, okay, I'm obedient. I said, okay, I won't go there. And I committed for a whole year. I said, I'm not even going to touch it. I'm not going to touch it. And it was hard because now you're a first-year student and everybody around you, that's kind of the norm, right? But I knew I needed to find breakthrough in this. And it wasn't like I was stuck in something, but I had to make sure that it doesn't become an extra weight in my life. And I remember once, I want to tell you this is a testimony. I was in one of the reses on campus. You know, in those first couple of weeks, they call it initiation type of, what do you call it nowadays? Like, you know what I mean? It's like insouting, ongroening, you know, it's a time where you're a newbie. We need to kind of make sure you know all the values and whatnot. And so they're kind of very hard on you when you're at res and during those first 2 weeks. And at the end of those 2 weeks, we walked into this room. And now it's our last session for this whole thing. And they said, okay, everybody, grab a beer. And now we're all going to down it as a sign of now you're part of this race. And now I made a decision 2 weeks ago in obedience to the Lord that I felt, gosh, I shouldn't go there for a season. And now I get confronted with this. And now we're all standing in this row. And now I'm standing there. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. It sounds silly now, but I don't know what to do. For me, it was like such an internal battle, making a commitment before God because I want to run this race for Him. And now suddenly they're kind of forcing us to do this. Ah! And I stood there, I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I feel pressured, but I want to be obedient to You. And I was about 10th in the row, and we were walking and everybody's grabbing a beer and, you know, we're all going to do this thing now. And literally, the person in front of me was grabbing his beer and the next person was me. And then there's one guy that's a leader in Rezi, he brought like a six-pack of Coke. He puts it down. He's like, yeah, for those who do not drink, here's some Coke. I was like, okay. And no one made something about it. It wasn't weird. It was like I saw the Lord come through for me, choosing Him above things that can possibly hinder me. That's God. That's God. So whatever hinders you in your life, we need to throw it off. And don't put it on other people. I think that's also very important. If the Bible is clear on sin, we need to be clear on sin. But if it's not that clear, don't put it on the person next to you. You do what God has told you. And if it becomes sin, then it's too far. You know what I mean? So just don't put your freedom onto someone else, or what you feel in the Lord onto someone else. Does that make sense? And then obviously there are things that just outright sin. And those things we need to make sure we throw off, because it entangles you easily. Isn't that, it's like, man, it's, before you know it, you're entangled. That's what it means. It's easily, it will easily entangle you. Don't play with anything that's sin and think, nah, man, I've got this. I can do a double under while running. No, you can't. Don't play with sin. Throw it off. Throw it off. And I want to say, just because people around you are doing it doesn't mean you have to do it. Just because the world tells you this is okay doesn't mean God okays it. There's a standard that we're living in, and it's Jesus. There's a word of God, the Bible, that we hold to us as this is our life's manual. We don't compromise on the word of God. We don't subtract or add to it. If the Bible says it, we do it. This is the way we need to live. Don't play with sin. It's not worth it. But and will we, as people, be those that says, I'll live differently. I'll live differently. And the impact that I made in that first year, you know, following Jesus passionately, people started actually asking questions. Hey, I saw you doing that. Why? And we started prayer meetings on campus. And we did all sorts of things to reach the people for God. And I made a decision. I'm going to live differently. I'm here as a carrier of the Lord's presence, and I'm going to live differently. Will you be someone that lives differently in your area of influence? Because the Lord wants to use you there. All right. So it's a big one, throwing off those things. And then lastly, I want to say, be faithful with the little. If we want to run for Jesus and finish and get to the finish line, we need to be faithful with the little. We need to be faithful with the little. And I believe this is the way, you know, when you run a race, you need to train, right? You can't just rock up at a marathon and, I haven't trained for 2 years, so I'm going to make it. Good luck. You need to kind of put something in to train for it. And I believe for us, as we run this race for the Lord, the way we train is to be faithful with the little. The way we train, there's many, many other ways, but the way I believe will get us to the end is if we are faithful with the little. If you want to count for God, be faithful with the little. Do the basics well. Do the basics well. And I want to read a scripture. I'm not going to preach for too long. Luke 16, verse 10 and 11. It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be entrusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Next verse. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And he's actually speaking in context of money. And these true riches is people. Be faithful with people around you. It's important to God. Did you know that? The person next to you is important to God. It's not just you. It's the people around you. And there's a principle here that whatever is in your hands, be faithful with that. Whatever is in your hands, whatever was entrusted to you in the church, whatever God has given you with gifts, are you faithful with that? Because then God will entrust you over more in His timing, if He wants to. But we need to trust Him. We need to trust Him. And I don't want to just speak about money. I'm talking about, you know, function in this church. This new church plan. If Paul asks you, hey, can you do the setup for the hall? Can you do the flags? Can you do worship? Can you do this? Can you do that? Are you faithful with that? Or is Paul asking you again? You're like, oh, yeah, I'll still get to it. We need to be those who are faithful with the small things. Now, there's a race marked for you. It's a race marked for you. It's not, you can't run someone else's race. There's a race that God has for you, specifically for you. And so don't compare with the person next to you. Don't be jealous. Just be faithful with what God has given you. And at times it doesn't make sense, but you need to put our faith in Jesus that He leads us from one step to the next. And as we trust Him with the next step, we can know that He'll show us the next step. But we need to stay faithful and stay close to Him. Does that make sense? It does feel like this thing of perseverance is just... It just feels like there's something in the Lord for us tonight, in the thing of perseverance. We can't escape it. We can't escape perseverance. You know, the Bible actually says that without perseverance, I'm paraphrasing, without perseverance, you're not going to have the godly character that God wants. So if you want to be someone with a godly character, the way we get there is through perseverance. And God uses perseverance to shape our character. And so if you're going through things in your life, if you're going through times of hardship, just embrace what God is doing. And I'm not saying everything is from God, but God uses everything to shape us. He uses the hardship, and the perseverance needed is what will get us to a place of character that He wants. And it's vitally important. So, man, wherever you can start to be faithful in, especially in church, just start. Be faithful. Be faithful in spending time with the Lord, reading your Bible. That's how we're going to get to a place where we can finish this race. You know, I actually don't want to go there, but I'll just mention it quickly. It feels like the world is pushing us into a place of having everything fast. Everything should be fast. The faster we can get something, the better. I mean, there are some great ideas in just engineering and all these things that we can apply like that. It actually helps us. But we often pull that through in our relationship with the Lord. We want everything fast. Following Jesus is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And we need that perseverance, that endurance. And sometimes it's boring, actually, doing the same thing day in, day out. If you follow the Lord in that way, like day in, day out, it's not boring, but you're on the right track. But if you live from one conference to the next, from one hype to the next, we're going to slow down. And as young people, don't chase the hype. Don't chase the next church that's exciting. Be where God has put you. Slot in there. Even if there's other churches down the road that's more exciting on the outside or whatever, just be where God has placed you. Be faithful. Don't chase the hype. We're in it for the end. We're in it for that day when Jesus is coming back. And it takes actually all of us to get there. This is not a one-man thing. Amen? So I hope this is encouraging. This isn't supposed to be a step on toes type of thing. But I actually want us to run for the Lord, man. Run consistently. Do the same thing well every day. Just do the basics well. If God has His finger on you, He'll get you where He wants you to be. You don't have to run ahead or make things happen for God. Just trust God in the process. Run with perseverance. And I mean, many of us are still young, and it feels like, no, man, I want to run with everything in me as fast as I can. Yes, we should. But we can't run a marathon like that. Running a marathon actually requires us to just slow down a bit, but keep moving forward. And often that's the case. We'll get much further in our walk with the Lord. So let's pray.